sisters.
Amen.
Amen. Shall we all stand as we approach the Lord in prayer this morning? We'll ask Brother Kennedy if he'd lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning.
Almighty God, Lord Jesus Christ, O merciful Father, we look unto you this morning again, O God. We thank you, Lord, we praise you this morning for this new day. We thank you for this day that you have made, Lord. We thank you, O God, for what you have done for us in this day, the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning, O Father. We look unto you and we ask you, O God, to continue to reveal your word in us, O God.
Yes.
Bless each and every soul, we pray, O God.
Yes.
Help our brother this morning, O God.
Yes.
Let your Holy Spirit, O God, take control of him.
Yes.
Minister to our needs, O God. Each and every one, we pray, from the youngest child to the eldest adult. Touch every soul, we pray. In your wonderful name, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's turn, if we would, to our Bibles, to the book of Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, we'll start with verse 12 and go from there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 12 reads, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, add blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. I'd like to continue on with the subject of the token. It's a tremendous message. I trust that some people were able to listen to the message. But in some ways, it's a little bit challenging with this message, because when you look into the message of the token and then you start to dig into it and see what God was trying to say through the prophet, there's a lot of interconnections. And so you jump from one message to another message to another message to another message. And I have a stack of books like this right now. A lot of them are in the back because it's just not practical for me to bring them here. But I see that there's a lot of connections throughout the message with the token. And so I ask you to pray for me this morning, because, you know, with all the different messages and things, trying to see, like, what the Lord wants to bring to the people. And because you can go in so many different directions, and even just a few minutes just before coming, just not knowing exactly the direction that he wants this lesson to go. So just bear with me if you would, and then as we go through this a little bit. But just to background a little bit about this, as we talked about last week, Brother Branham made a highlight of this message, and I don't want to belabor the point, but I want us to catch it. And sometimes God has to lay things down a few times for us to really catch it. You know, sometimes he said that he had to really hammer it. He had to get emotional, what have you, get very direct. And so he talked about clinching the nail in there, and so that the people would be able to catch it. And we know that it takes revelation to really catch it, but there was something in him that was just desiring for the people to get it, you know. It drove his entire ministry. It drove how he was, that he had this burning desire to get this message not only out, but for the people to catch it and to realize and see the things that he was being able to see. Because He saw many things, as we know. He saw visions and different things, but he saw a little bit further than that in some different areas. He saw past the curtain of time. He could see what was beyond what we could see here into the sixth dimension, and to see that, you know, the souls that would be, that were part of that bride of Christ that were waiting. And he said, there's not any words that can express how that particular area is, but he says, nothing in it can enter into here but perfect love. So he talks about that, but then he talks about another world that he was able to see, and that was hell. And so he could see how good it could be, and he saw how bad it could be. And so that's what drove him to preach the way that he did. And I believe that God was showing him that so that he could be able to explain that to us so that we could catch it. I don't know how else to say it that way. But so what he says, and I'd like to repeat this in the message, Desperation, he says, this morning, speaking of the message, the token, the message this morning was to me the highlight message of my entire ministry this morning. Highlight message of my entire ministry. Someday I'll tell you how it come about. And I know that everything has worked for months and months and months up to that one message, moving up to come to that place that was the capping off time of it. So there was a lot building up, and I believe he's talking about when the seals were revealed, then there was a building of what God had shown him, and he was trying to convey to the people the different messages, you know, whether it was standing in the gap, souls that are in prison, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, all these different messages, and it was leading up to this, and it was a capping off time, because we know this is a capping off time, this is the end. You know, the seventh seal, as Brother Branham says, is the end of all things. He says it's the end of this, it's the end of that. It's like a starburst that goes out and it bursts all these different directions, but it ends in all these different places. And you can see the connection when you look at Revelation chapter 10, because time is no more, he says. And so, you know, he's trying to get us to catch the gravity of the situation here, because if we can catch the gravity of it, then we will really turn our hearts and earnestly to really press towards him. Press towards the mark. He says this in this message, the desperation. He says, he brings up two scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 29, starting with the 10th verse, and Luke chapter 16. And he says, in this scripture, and we know that this scripture, what he is talking about to the Israelites to encourage them. He's saying that, you know, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. You know the scripture, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you the accepted end. And so he was encouraging them that God had a purpose for you, right? And so he had something in mind. And so don't be discouraged on the situation, right? So, you know, the world is a certain way, but I have a plan for you. So now he says this. He says, I know. So he says, then you shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. So he's looking for us to search for him with all of our heart. Amen. And so we've got to, it's not a halfway, it's not, you know, that this is good and this is great, but it's a pressing in to it. You're all of your heart, all that's within you. And he says this in Luke 16, he says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. Every man presses into it. So he says that, seek him with everything that's in you, every fiber of your being, everything that you have on you, you know, your whole body, your whole efforts, and should be pressing towards Jesus Christ. Amen. And giving your whole heart to him, your whole life to him. Amen. I believe that's what God requires in this day. I believe he's going to require nothing short of that. Nothing less than that. And so you know that, You know, you say that this is difficult and things, but this is what God requires. And so with man, this is impossible, but with God, He says that for a reason. It is possible. So He goes on, and the desperation message, He says this is a capping off time. He says, now I'm sure or hope that you got what the token meant, see? The token is a sign that the blood has been applied, that the price has been asked, required of God. Jesus paid that price by shedding His own blood. He did that. Then from His life came the Holy Spirit. And when the blood is applied to you, the Holy Spirit is a token that your price is paid. God has received you, and that's the token. Remember, that is a token. Let me read on a little bit here. He says, now, and the same thing about this token, the token, we have talked to the token all the way along, but now is the manifestation of the token. So he's saying through the ages and different periods of time, it's been talking about the token. But this is a time that it becomes a reality. It's the full manifestation. It's God creating Himself again on this earth. And so there was a measure of the Holy Ghost through the church ages. And Luther had the Holy Ghost. John Wesley had the Holy Ghost. The Pentecostals had the Holy Ghost. And we as a bride have the Holy Ghost, but there's a different measure in this age. Do you understand? So what Luther had, the Holy Ghost that he had, is not enough for this age. You understand what I'm saying? He was filled with the Holy Ghost, but it's a different measure, a different dispensation in this time. And so you go back and you look back and you say, I've got the same thing that he had, but you've got to have more. Do you understand? This is a time, it's a full manifestation of Christ in our lives. Now we have sometimes allowed it, the Lutherans allowed it to accepting the word, accepting Christ as personal Savior. The Methodist said, when you get happy enough to shout, that's it. The Pentecostal says, speak in tongues and you got it. And we find out that all of it was wrong. See, the token is a token. It's you and Christ as persons together. See, it's the Holy Spirit, His life in you, working His own life through you. Now he goes on in this whole message and he's talking about desperation, and we understand that, but you see that God has a purpose for things. And so he said this message was a capping off time, and you go through this message, a token, and you see that there are things that he was telling us about this end time that start to spark, and you say that, I see what he was talking about. I see what he was talking about. Because he said this token could not come until the evening time. It was this time. And so when you look at the word a seal, because he talks about the token being a seal. And we've got to get our blinders off. We've got to get our denominational thinking out of our minds. But you see, when he talks about a seal, he says a seal is a finished work. It's not a beginning work, it's a finished work. Do you understand? And so there is a, he talks about a boxcar, how you put that seal on it when it is complete. And so he said, if there's things that are shaking in there, you cannot seal that thing. Now, he's going to get to this in a little bit because he talks about the token being that seal. We can't get these things mixed up because God has given us the types throughout the Scripture to show us something here. You know, He shows us the tabernacle. He shows the types and the stories of the different Bible characters. But it was showing all the time the plan of redemption that God had for you and I. I was reading... Wow, it's a little warm. Are you all warm in here? Okay. I don't know if anybody's got that clicker back there. But anyways, if as long as you guys are fine, that's fine. But I was reading, how many have read any of these books? The Supernatural? Okay. If you haven't, I do recommend it because, so there's three volumes of it. There's volume one has, you know, up to about 1955 of his ministry, and then the next volume has 55 to, you know, 1960 or so, and then the third volume. But it's the entire life of the prophet, but what the brother did is he took all the messages. This was like, I don't know how many years, 20 years he put this project together, but he wanted to, you know, you have a man sent from God, but it only shows a segment of his life, and you don't get to see what he's thinking and all those different types of things. So that brother, he felt he had the inspiration to write this, and I believe it is inspired. But as he goes through his life, he's taking all those messages. You know how Brother Bram tells the story of this, you know, when he was young and when he was 12 years old and different things. And he takes all those in and he brings it into the book in the story form. And so you can see the entire life of the prophet from the time he was as early as he can remember to the time that he was off the scene. But as I was reading this, you know, book three, you know, was talking about when he was, what was going on with him when he was coming up with some of these messages. And one of them was the souls that were in prison. And how many have listened to the souls that are in prison before? Okay. So you know that he's looking at hell in that that message. And then he's talking about the third pole. He's talking about preaching to the totally lost. And he's talking about how the end time, and could this preaching to the lost be the third pole? And so then he brings in different types because, you know, after the seals, and he looks at the scriptures and he sees, turn with me if you would to Matthew. I trust you all are okay with this. It's a little bit of stream of consciousness here, but I trust that you bear with me a little bit here. But in Matthew 24, we know that he's talking about the end time. He's talking about the seals, how they parallel that in the seals. He mentions that. And you see in verse 37, he says, "But as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And so this whole scripture of chapter 24 is talking about the end time, talking about, you know, when the moon's going to be darkened, sun's not giving her light, and different things, how people will be taken. And he talks about warning about people watching. So when he talks about Noah, think about this a little bit for a second. It just struck me. This pulpit's just way out of whack here. But it just struck me when he was going through this story about Noah. You see, Noah preached for 120 years. We know that. God gave him a message. He was a prophet with a message to call the people to repentance. We know that that time period, it was a very evil time period, much like today. So when we look at the scripture, "But as in days of Noah," we can see those things. We see the condition of the people and all those different things. But he was king on something that just struck me. The revelation just struck me. But Noah was building an ark. We know that. Wow, Noah was building an ark. I'm getting to something here. So he preached the message to get into the ark, but yet the ark was not accomplished yet. But he was building it, and he kept preaching to the people, "You need to get into this," while he was building the ark. And so little bit by little bit, the ark was being built. And, you know, piece by piece, the first floor, the second floor, third floor, and all the while, 120 years, preaching that same message, "You must get into the ark." And so the ark represented Jesus Christ. And so there is the only place where there's safety, of course. So get away from the world, get away from all that you're doing and all you're thinking that you're good or you're church going and things like that. There's nothing else that's going to save you but to get into that ark. Amen. You know, you may have a synagogue you go to, you may have a church you go to, you may even listen to Noah when he's preaching and stuff, but if you don't actually step into that ark, then you will not be saved. So the ark was a building, and after the ark was finished, then they got in the ark, and God sealed that ark. Yeah. And then after he sealed that ark, then they were in there for 7 days. And the people on the earth had no idea what was going on within that ark. They didn't know that judgment was coming. They didn't know that there was no way for mercy. But yet it was sealed. It was standing there as a testament. And so God was building an ark. God was building Christ in that day. And so little by little, he was building a perfect structure. But at a time when everything was finished, then he sealed that. And so when that sealed, that meant there was a finished work. And so it was complete. It was sealed. But yet there was no grace or mercy. And so today that God is building an ark. God is building a stature of a perfect man. And so he's building it little by little. He's building the faith and the virtues and different things like that. And he paralleled it to the church ages. And so when it got to up to the last stage, then you see he talks about this, and I don't have time to get into this message, but in blasphemous names, he's talking about a dream that this one sister had. And you know, she was wondering whether she had the Holy Ghost or not. And so then he began to go peel back this dream that she had. And it was a big mountain, and there was water flowing down the mountain. And there was a box of rocks. There was the water was flowing through this box of rocks, flowing down that mountain. And he goes into it, and I'm not going to depict the whole dream specifically, but he was talking about how those streams, you know, were covering that mountain, and he talks about how it relates to us as we're walking in our walk with the Lord. I'm going to back up here a little bit because, you know, if you take the message and you see what he's talking about in the seals, you see what he's talking about in all the messages after the seals, and he begins to open these things up to you, then you begin to see from the beginning of the message all the way to the end that everything ties together. Because it's talking all about the same thing. It's talking about you and I coming through this process to come into Christ. Amen. It talks about from A to B to C all the way down to Z. But it's trying to tell us exactly what is in each stage so that we can fully understand where we are and what is happening to us. And you know, sometimes he gives the wisdom to some people that are further along the way. Because then they can tell you that, you know, you're having trouble, you're being discouraged, and they can say, don't worry, this is what's going on. This is what the message of the hour tells us, and this is the stage that you're in. You understand what I'm saying? So you see that when we come into the Lord, and you know, we have different varying levels of believers in here. You know, some are struggling. Why are you struggling, you know? And Brother Branham explains these things. You know, when you first come to hear the Word of God, you're excited because it comes into your heart, but you're just stepping into the courts, and so you're exposed to all these elements, and that's why you have an up-and-down relationship with God. You know, it talks about how, you know when you have a new, in Ezekiel, it talks about having a new heart. So when you hear the Word of God, and it strikes your heart, and you get enthusiastic, and now your heart's being softened by the Word, and then he's trying to make it so that you can eventually receive him, but he's softening your heart, right? You know, the scripture talks about the old wine and the old bottles, the new wine and the new bottles, but he's got to soften your heart so that you're ready to receive that new wine. And so when you're struggling, you see, you wonder why, because you feel a jolt of the Spirit of God. You know, you come through the service and you sense the presence of God and you feel like you're in heaven and things, but then you leave the service and then you have trouble. You know, whether it's 1 week, 2 weeks, and then you feel like you have to get to service in order to sustain yourself. And so that is not where we ought to be, but you see, you're just starting out there. And so he talks about how you have a new heart, and then he says, you know, you get a new spirit, but it's not his spirit yet. And so you start to have a desire. You have a desire to follow him. But it's not the total desire that he wants you to have in your heart. Do you understand? It's an image of it. It's a type of it. Or it's a shadow of it. And so you start to get This new spirit that allows, and he's moving little by little to warm yourself up to eventually receive him. But you see, when you have that new spirit, you may jump and shout for joy. You may get excited. You may get, you hear something and it clicks in your mind and your heart and you're just excited about it and all these different manifestations of the spirit. But you see, you have a new spirit. But he says, but you must receive my spirit. And so, as we're moving on, the devil is trying to block us and say, you got it. You're okay, right? But you see, we've got to press on and on and on until we get into the perfection, because I don't believe any of us are where we need to be at one with Christ. And so you see these things, and he takes you through the message and hidden life in Christ and talking about the tabernacle, and you see that he gets you to the altar. And when you get to the altar, then there's a shedding of blood. And that blood is what cleans us. It sanctifies us. And so, when you come to Christ, God's got to clean you off. He's got to get rid of those old habits and things. You don't have the Holy Ghost yet, but you're tasting of the Holy Ghost. But you see, when the devil's trying to say, look, your life has changed. You got rid of this and that. You got it. But you see, you don't yet. Let us move on into perfection. So now he's trying to get you to come. Remember, and people in the Bible have fallen short. We know that. The Israelites, they came to a certain point and they fell short because they didn't wholly accept the Word of God. You see, the bride of Christ accepts everything in that Word, no matter how hard or difficult it is, because the greatest thing in her heart is she loves him with all of her heart. And so whatever she wants, that's what he wants. Or she, whatever he wants, that's what she wants. And so he's taking you to the altar. And so when you get to the altar, then the sacrifice is there. And Jesus Christ is a sacrifice. But you must be identified with the sacrifice. He says that in the token, you must be there also. In the type, they had to put their hand on the lamb before they killed the lamb. Why? Because they had to feel the suffering. They had to be identified that they were a sinner and they needed a sacrifice. They needed redemption. And so coming to the altar, then he laid his hands. He was identified with that. If you were too ashamed to stand in public, that you are a sinner and that you needed Christ, then there's no point of going there. And then you stop right there. Your walk stopped right there. And so some people are ashamed of Christ, to be identified with him. But the bride is not ashamed at all. He says, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross, that means sacrifice your life. Your life means nothing anymore, because now he's bringing you to a spot where your heart is in a condition to make a decision to give your life totally and completely to him. You see, that's the born-again experience. He says, you lay your life on the altar. Remember what they did on the altar? They killed the sacrifice, but they also burnt the sacrifice. And so you remember that when Abel offered his sacrifice, God vindicated that was a true sacrifice. Brother Brand says he consumed that sacrifice, just like he did with Elijah when he was calling on the Lord when it was a showdown with the gods of Baal, that he was calling on God, and God vindicated that prophet's word and sent down the fire and consumed that sacrifice. And so you are not born again until God consumes you and he vindicates that he's accepted your sacrifice. So you must be totally, you must make a decision to totally abandon sin and this world and this life and everything that is within it. And then you have an experience. He talks about the born-again experience. It's because it is a mess, because God is completely changing you from one person to another person. And so he burns that old person totally out And you can never return to that person. You see, if you're going back to the old person, then you haven't reached that point yet. You've got to give it all up. And God has got to be the most important, and you've got to be heading in that direction. But you see, God is so simple. In the scripture, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It is very simple. Repent, turn towards God. You were turning towards the world, but you turn towards God, and you keep going that direction, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. So it's very simple. You just keep following God. But I'm trying to show you some nuances as you're still continuing this walk with the Lord. And so you're born again. Now you're a different creature. You're born of the Spirit of God. And now you're going in to the tabernacle. And as you're going into the tabernacle, God, you're a baby. Some people say that, oh, I'm born again, that's it. No, that's not. You've got to go in and you've got to grow. Amen. You've got to be under a ministry. Amen. You know, the fivefold Ephesians 4 says, God sent apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors for the perfecting of the saints. Amen. Until we all come into the stature of a perfect man, the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so you've got to go. And you see, it's all typed here. You see the seven golden candlesticks. And those seven golden candlesticks, Christ was walking amongst those candlesticks. But you see that the ministry, you know, Brother Branham was a prophet. And so that is an essential part of our growth. You have all the other folds of the ministry, they all bring different angles. But you see that as you're growing, those seven golden candlesticks, what do they represent? They represented the church ages. But then you look in the stature of a perfect man, and he's talking about how these represent this pyramid. And this pyramid had these seven layers. And these seven layers represented these virtues. But he also said that God was building an individual, but he's also building the bride as a whole. Amen. And so he typed them together. He said, you know, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, all those things is what God was building a bride throughout the ages. And so you see that in those things that God was showing that there was a building process that goes on with a believer as she's walking and going through this, but each time getting closer to perfection. And so those golden candlesticks, they were not perfect because he says that the priest had to, you know, manage those lights. They were artificial light, but yet they were out of the elements in there. And you can see that, man, this was a great place to be, but it's not where we stop, brothers and sisters. And so after going through those candlesticks, then there was the altar of incense, and we talked about that, the prayers of the saints, right? And how it all types together. You know how Brother Branham talks about the third pole and the prayer life going into that third pole, that chamber, and that's a key to going in there. He says, you know, doesn't the scripture say go into your secret place, right? It's all tied together. And then going into there, and then now you and Christ are becoming one. And so as you're going in there, then you and Christ are becoming one, then he's going to seal you. And that seal, as he talks about in stature of a perfect man and blasphemous names, he says that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So I don't want us to be mixed up in what he's talking about, because he says it, he lays it all out in the message of the hour in the scriptures. But you see, we weren't to get this revelation until now. Wow, is it hot. Whew. Man, are you all hot? I just want, it's just me, I guess. Amen. So I'm going to go in a little bit further into this message, the token. Let's turn, if we would, to Exodus chapter 12. Is everybody okay? Amen. I know it's a little bit back and forth. Apologize, but you see, Exodus chapter 12, you know, he's laying out the different things that the instructions that Moses gave and the different symbols that he's talking about, and, you know, that they must have the token applied to the doorpost, what are they to eat and different things. And, you know, Brother Branham makes a statement. He says, they all heard the message of Moses, who represented the prophet, or who was a prophet, but you can see how it parallels to this time and day. And so there were people that even said, I believe everything that Moses said. But you see, you must apply what Moses said. See, you could never go unless you applied what he was saying. So you can hear the message all day. You can come to church. You can hear what the pastor's preaching about. You can hear what Brother Branham's preaching about. But if it doesn't come into you and apply to your life, it matters not at all. It matters not. Because the death angel will strike. Hold this place for a second here, if you would. Ezekiel. Chapter 9. Let's just read several of these scriptures. And I know it's a familiar scripture, but you're gonna see immediately the parallel with the book chapter 12 in Exodus. He said, he cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth towards the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with the writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said, in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. I'm going to stop there for a second. And so there was these death angels that were coming, and they were looking for a sign. They were looking for a seal. They were looking for a mark. And when they saw that mark, then they would pass over. But anyone, and no matter if it was a child, no matter how good that child may seem, no matter how good that individual seemed, no matter how much that person went to church or heard the message or prayed or any of those things, if they did not have that mark, they were destroyed. And so you look back at the days of Jericho when they went in to the land of Jericho. Remember, there were seven times that they were going around that city. And then on the last one, there were seven times around the city in one day. And so representing, I believe, the seven thunders in this last day that would free the bride of Christ and overcome everything. Just like it was in this day when all the gods of Egypt were put down. And so when there was a shout, there will be a shout at the end time to call the bride together. There will be a voice, the resurrection of the dead. The dead in Christ will rise, and we which are on the earth shall remain and be caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. And so there was a shout that brought the destruction, but yet it was salvation for the Israelites. And so it meant salvation to Rahab the harlot, because she had the token. Because she believed the message. She not only believed the message, but she applied the message. She did exactly what the prophet came and told them. Because you see, when you say prophet, he said, Those boys that came in there, they were tape boys. So they carried that message to that and then played those tapes so that she could hear the message of the hour. And so there was a destruction, though. Anybody that did not have that was utterly destroyed. Even Achan, who was a part of that. So if you turn back and try to grab onto something and look back, then you will be destroyed. And so you see that there was a mark. There was a distinction. Now I'm going to read something here. I haven't even got past page 6 or 7 on the token message, but this is how I feel led. Amen. You see, in Question and Answers 1964, this is after the seals, there was a question about the Holy Ghost that was asked to Brother Branham, and he says, now what? Let me just give you a little twister here in just a minute. I say, how many has the Holy Ghost? All of you raise up your hand. Say, all right. I'll see if you see what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to deceive you to thinking that you have the Holy Ghost when you don't. Now, I'm not condemning anyone at all. But you see, you've got to see where you're at so that you, if you see that you're short, then it causes you to get into desperation. You understand? I don't have it. I must have it. He says, how many has the Holy Ghost? All of you raise up your hand. I'd say, all right, I'll see if you have. The Bible said that they that had the Holy Ghost sighed and cried day and night for the abominations done in the city. Now, how many hands would go up? How many of you can't rest day and night so full of joy? The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. So full of joy. If we're down all the time and we're depressed and things, there, you know, we're not there. He says, the power of God. And so sad for the people that's lost. Do we have concern for the people that just are not seeing the Lord? You know, they just reject. They walk away. You know, they're in and out. They're cold or they're informal or they're, you know, they're in and out of church. They're in and out of their relationship with God. There's a burning in their heart. And it says, you won't see. Who would that be that in the city? How many is that's in the church? That's what the Bible said the Holy Spirit evidence was. He told the sealing angel, Ezekiel 9, that's right, he said, take, go through the city and set a mark upon those who sigh and cry for the abominations did in the city. You know that when we were looking at the token message, if you listen to it, you know, he brings into a drama. He says, you know, it was a very tense time because they had seen the vindication of the prophet. They've seen it happen 11, 12, however many times. It was undoubtedly when he spoke the word, it happened. And so now the time was that he said that this death angel is going to strike unless you have the token. That clock's wrong. It says 10:10. Okay, amen. Okay, Brother Duncan, I let's all stand and I'll finish this here. He says, they knew that the prophet's word would be fulfilled. And so they said, you know, he said the death angel will strike if you do not have this. And so the house, they sacrificed it. There were people that were moving with fear. And they said, we must do exactly what the prophet said because we've seen it happen time and time again that what he said happened. And so that moved them with a fear, a godly fear and desperation that said, we need to do this exactly right. And so they were doing it. And then the father felt that he had done exactly what the prophet said. And the son said, are you sure, father? He was the firstborn. He was going to be stricken dead if he did it wrong. But he said, are you sure, daddy? He says, son, we've done all the prophet told us to do. We did it exactly. I'm sure. He says, but are you totally sure, daddy? And so that's how we ought to, he said, the Bible says you ought to make your calling and election sure. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you, O Lord Jesus. Lord, put the urgency in our hearts, O Father. Lord, let the people not go weary of hearing, but I feel that, Lord, this is what you're calling us to, dear Lord. And there's no way that we can go receive the token and the rapture, Lord, unless our heart's in this direction, O Father, that we give everything to you. Lord, take control, O Father. It's in your hands, dear Lord Jesus. Lord, bless the service, the song service, the preaching, O Lord Jesus. Take everything under your control, dear Lord. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Praise, give God the glory.